What is up, everyone? This is Tyler, a.k.a. Grand Lethal 16.
And I am Johnny, as always.
And we are back, coming with episode 2 of the Digital Shinobi podcast. And this is our post-SoccerCon 2018 episode.
Yeah, it's a blowout, man. We got a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We might have to cut this into two parts, to be honest. I mean, we can't be here all night. I mean, or can we?
Yeah, we probably could. but we're not going to.
This will be on soundcloud.com/grandlethal16. Also, Johnny will be mentioning this on JohnnyC303 on Twitter and Facebook. So, of course, you can follow us there. Of course, I'm also on Twitter and Facebook, grandlethal16 as well. And, of course, YouTube, where we will be putting up footage from some of the SoccerCon stuff we did shortly. So, yeah, check us out there. Hit us up. Ask us any questions. You know, if you want any follow-up stuff, anything you want to see in the next episode. I mean, this was your second time being at SoccerCon. I've been there a lot in the past. How was it from the press side of things, Johnny?
Yeah, so the only other time I've been, as you alluded to, was last year. I went as just an attendee versus attending as press this year. So attendee was last year. I did a cosplay. It was like basically Asuma from Naruto. That was fun. I got to kind of knock that off my bucket list. It was something I'd always wanted to try. You know, it's funny. Having you as more of a guide this year, because last year we were still friends and I even tried to link up with you, but you were so busy doing interviews and stuff, I didn't really get to see you at all. But what's ironic, what I was going to say is I did more attendee stuff this year too, even though I was there as press, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, one of the things that I didn't get to do last year that I ended up doing this year was just going in some of the theaters they'd set up and, like, watching random anime, which I loved, by the way. That was a really cool experience. I tried to get some D&D in, which you had kind of told me that there was, like, D&D that gets played, and I was like, yeah, somewhat, whatever. Yeah, I don't know if he knows what he's talking about. I don't know why I thought that. You should be an authority on this con. I should have just trusted what you were saying, and I got there too late, and I literally watched the very last people end their session, and then I had to leave. So I never got to play D&D. So I guess that's always something for next year. But I mean, I loved being there in a media... What's the word I'm looking
capacity.
For? There you go. That's the one I was looking for, in a media capacity. We did a lot of great interviews. These voice actors really surprised me, like, in just the, like, how chill they were.
Down to earth.
Yeah, we really didn't have – you know, I'm sure it exists out there that there's some people that, like, kind of try to big time everyone or have
take
some
themselves
kind of,
a little bit more
seriously. Yeah, than you would hope for. But we didn't have any bad experiences, and I loved it. What about you?
Well, I liked it. I love SoccerCon. I've been taking it not as seriously as I should the last few years, and thus I have not been taking the adequate days off before and after. So I get burnt out way too easily. Way too easily. I'm like an old person who, like, goes on vacation and doesn't see any of the attractions, but just, like, lays by the pool. I'm becoming kind of weak here, people. I need to recondition myself here.
You need to, as Guy, Mike Guy would say, you need to rediscover the springtime of your youth.
Yes, I do. I am clearly in autumn, headed for winter, and it is way too early for that.
Yeah. Don't be a Shikamaru.
No kidding.
Be young.
I had a good time. It was fun meeting some of these voice actors. One thing I will say is, yeah, they are down to earth. I realize it's like if we... Okay, not to downplay what they do, but it's like if we took a couple theater classes at a community college, got really good at it, then suddenly got to voice characters in Naruto. It's like basically that, and then got paid to show up at conventions and meet people and sign autographs and take
pictures. Right, you're just saying
and
from
got
like
paid for it.
A personality standpoint.
Yeah, yeah, like from like the perspective, and that's I think that's why they're all really chill, because this is stuff they probably grew up watching and playing video games of, and now this all of a sudden they're in it.
Well, one of the things I was I don't know if I'd say surprised, but just that I thought was interesting, and I kind of brought it up in a lot of the interviews, is most of these people are trained actors before they were ever, you know, I'm doing the air quotes with my fingers, voice actors, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're obviously very talented, and I think a lot of them You know, for instance, Max Middleman, off the top of my head, is someone
was a theater major, right?
Yeah, and he said that, like, you know, he grew up on the stage, and if he wasn't doing so many gigs voice acting, mm-hmm. and it, I mean, obviously he's found a good career for himself, but definitely. He'd love to do theater, you know, and maybe that's something we'll see in, like, a second act or third act of his career later on. Mm-hmm. So I love just hearing about, like, their experiences growing up with theater, what got them into voice acting, their path mm-hmm. there, and those kind of things.
Definitely. It kind of surprised me. I'd heard it before, but maybe it was the questions we asked or how we kind of covered those topics, but it became a whole lot more clearer, hard to glaze over than it has been prior years, that not all, but the majority of these folks were theater majors, probably have BFAs, you know, definitely were more on the creative side going through college and stuff. And it's weird because I don't know a lot of kids that I knew who were, like, theater majors who went this direction. Granted, they're in Washington, not in
AKA were this successful.
Yeah, L.A. or Dallas area, you know, where all the anime studios are. So it's kind of surprising to see all of this. By the way, since Johnny dropped a name, Max Middleman, he played One Punch Man. Fidel Kim is the main protagonist in Star Ocean 5. Arima in Your Lie in April, and of course, you know, Leo Forrest and Caden in Fire Emblem Fates. So those are just a handful. I believe he also plays Harry Osborn in the 2017 Marvel Spider-Man cartoon. So those are some voice roles he's done. I don't mean to interrupt with it, but just so people know, because sometimes a name...
Sure.
This isn't going to be an audio file, so when people hear a name, it's not always the most clear. So just to put that out there.
You know, since we're on that subject, I just finished editing the audio version of his interview, and that should be up soon. Where can they find that?
That will be soundcloud.com/GrandLethal16 under the playlist labeled SoccerCon 2018. This will be the first interview up there, so it'll be at the top of that playlist. And next week we should have it also up on YouTube.com. Just search Grand Lethal 16 or YouTube.com/channel/TylerCummings1. Either of those ways are ways to find it. Of course, we'll probably put some excerpts here and there. So if you go on Facebook, we'll be sharing this on the unofficial SoccerCon page and also the official, submitting it over there.
Who knows? You know, yeah. we might put a preview snippet on a podcast. I mean, I really enjoyed the Max Middleman The Max Middleman interview. So, you know, maybe we'll end up putting, like, a little preview snippet in a future podcast. We'll see. But he was a great interview. Ian Sinclair was the first interview we did, and I thought one of the better ones, which...
I don't say anything is better or worse than any other, but it was a good lead-off for the weekend.
It's my first experience in this capacity interviewing, you know, these types of folks. I couldn't have asked for a better person to be, like, my very first one, mm-hmm. If that makes sense. So that's a little bit of foreshadowing. We are actually going to do a snippet of his interview coming up here shortly on this podcast, so mm-hmm. stay tuned for that. He's a very interesting and funny guy, and you will also be able to find his full interviews in similar places to what we were just talking about with Max Middleman on Grand Lethal 16's, you know.
SoundCloud.
Yep, there you go. Mm-hmm. All that good stuff. So anyways, we got a little bit sidetracked there. Did you see any good cosplays?
I saw some great ones. Of course, there were many lovely ladies dressed as Camilla from Fire Emblem Fates. Hope my girlfriend isn't listening to this. You know, there were people with these interesting cat paw mittens that had, like, the fingers cut out and so if they held their hands up, it looked like cat paws. Those were kind of cool. There was a couple good Gokus. There were a couple... there was an Akuma that looked really cool.
I'll tell you the best one I saw all week. I don't know if they were, like, models or Instagram models.
Should have asked. That's
whatever.
An opening line.
But when I went out to, I guess we could just call it, like, the Pit of Death, which is, like, it's I by the so just
why don't
a
we
quick
just
aside.
Explain. If you're in Seattle. Explain it, Johnny. Yeah, tell people who are in Seattle.
A quick aside here. So my favorite part, and I discovered this last year when I attended.
Location, rather?
Yeah. Well, it's my favorite part of the con.
And location, Jesus.
Yeah, okay. My favorite part and location of the con is this. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a park, and it's got, like, this giant, like, fountain waterfall type of thing, but there's never any water in it. Every time I've ever gone to SakuraCon, I don't know if they fill it up in the summer or what. But all I know is this thing is like a Death Trap 9000. It's got like 40 foot, like a literal 40 foot drop on one part
of
it.
It's like a cliff.
Yeah, there's just, it's like miniature cliffs everywhere. And you could, there's places that if you jumped off, like it would be like 40 feet to the ground or like 30, 20, 15, 10. There's all these like, it's kind of like steps. It's very bizarre. It's actually, ironically, like something you would see in an anime.
It is. It's a little absurd.
You know, it looks like somewhere where, you know, two main characters would have a battle or something. A sword fight or what have you. But anyways, so I took Tyler out there, and it was really funny to just, like, watch you just be like, oh, my God, I'm kind of, like, nervous about all these people. Like, there's people doing parkour. Like, we watch people jumping from ledge to ledge, and I'm just, like, sitting there thinking, like, how is this even a thing? But anyways, I digress. Yeah, the best cosplay I saw was out on that area. I was sitting up there with a buddy, Joe, who you is a mutual friend of ours. And I happened to see these two girls. One was dressed as Mercy from Overwatch, and the other one was Widowmaker. And, I mean, their cosplays were impeccable. Like, the attention to detail, plus they were just, like, you know, they were pretty attractive. They had the makeup down. Just everything was like A+, and I love seeing cosplays like that.
Quality cosplays are awesome.
Yeah, and you know, there were some awesome ones at the Funimation after party as well. I don't even know who the character was, but like there was this one girl that was walking around, and like she had like basically like a power suit with like some gigantic rifle. I don't even know what character it was, but if looked I found cool. out, I would watch it. Like it just it was that good. So, yeah, you know, cosplays are a cool part of it as well. Did you get to check out any of the events? I know that we split up at one point to kind of go, you know, do some separate things. Yeah. Anything you got into? I already talked about the D&D and just, like, watching anime in the theaters and stuff.
You know, I got caught up catching up with a lot of friends from college that I ran into. A lot of friends of me and my girlfriends and our other friends from community college and college were there. That kind of pulled a lot of my attention. I got to the manga library for like 10 minutes because I'm lame. I got to the, what is it? The handheld gaming room, which is basically like a quiet room where people play their 3DSs. I got in there. I didn't check out the theaters too much for shows, but I did. I also got to the cosplay contest for a little while in the main stage, which was nuts. I mean, like, there were some pretty insane Fate cosplays. Like, there was one of Saber, I want to say from like Unlimited Blade Works, and there was one from Archer from Unlimited Blade Works, and they were superb. Like, I gotta give respect. Like, I cosplay a bit, and I do okay stuff, but my stuff is still pretty minimal. There are people out there building like foam armor, oh, yeah. Swords, pauldrons, bracers. Just respect to them. I would never go that far. I think I would have.
It's like, we wouldn't do it, but I'm so happy that someone's doing it.
Yeah,
you know?
You know what? Like, I don't have to be the artist. I can just appreciate art. I'm totally fine with that being my place in life. I'll try something, but I don't know if I'd go to that extent. That's when people make the really extensive armor, I'm like, that looks really awesome, but it looks unpleasant to wear. It looks cool to show off, but damn.
real quick, just to kind of wrap things up on this note, who all did we interview? I mean, there was a few that you and I attended together, and then mm-hmm. I think you had at least one that was solo. So let's give our listeners the list. What can they be looking forward to?
So first I'll give the list to everyone we were supposed to interview. Should I? Yeah. Okay. So Robbie Daymond, who voices Spider-Man in last year's Marvel Spider-Man cartoon, also plays Saray in Tales of Zestiria and Prompto in Final Fantasy XV. Ray Chase, was also on the list. Noctis in Final Fantasy XV, Eve in Nier Automata, Artorias in Tales of Berseria, and Max Middleman, who plays, of course, One Punch Man. I've already mentioned plenty of his roles. John Swayze, who does Sir Crocodile in One Piece, Dodoria and the ZTV announcer in Dragon Ball Z, also Van Hohenheim in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. And then we also had Ian Sinclair on the list, who did the voice of Zavid in Tales of Zestiria, Brook in One Piece, Whis in Dragon Ball Super, Toriko and Space Dandy, among others. And of course, Rashid in Final Fantasy, not Final Fantasy, whoops, I just love Final Fantasy, in Street Fighter V.
Yeah, we were busy, man.
Between Friday and Saturday, we interviewed those five dudes. And then on Sunday, I interviewed Leah Clark on my own. And I know if you watched my pre-soccer con guest announcement parts one and part two, and both I said that she was not going to be there. I was wrong. I was so wrong. She was there. She was cool. She let me hop in and interview her for like 15 minutes. That will also be on my SoundCloud and also on YouTube soon. We will talk about that in a future podcast because we can't talk about all five or six interviews all today. But I was wrong. I will admit it. I'm stronger than that. No, that's it. Yeah.
And speaking of Ian Sinclair, we're actually going to throw it over to a little preview of his interview. And here we go.
Thank you so much for meeting us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, I'm Ian Sinclair. I talk a couple times.
That does it professionally.
So this is a question you've probably never been asked before. What is your favorite anime?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. As a fan, to work on what? Specificity, my friend.
Just as a fan.
As a fan, it was always Dragon Ball. Like Z specifically, but as I've gotten older, I've really enjoyed going back and watching original Dragon Ball because it's ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding. You're right. Like, so silly.
Bebop. If I wasn't in it, I would say Space Dandy. Space Dandy genuinely is one of my favorite of all time. I just know how that sounds, me saying that.
Right.
Like, watch, if you gotta watch just the sub, if you hate dubs, it's worth it. One way or the other, check out Space Dandy. It's really good. You should watch the dub.
So, given that Dragon Ball was so much of an impact on your fandom and probably your entry into anime, how was it to play Whis? Yeah. To actually become part of the Dragon Ball canon?
It's the neatest thing. Whis is... Yeah, I get to train my heroes, man. It's bizarre. It is... it's a joy. It's artistically deeply fulfilling, and the way I say it to people, it's hard to express, but like, I'm as excited doing it as you would be. Like, and it's that kind of like, if you think that you would get in a booth and go, yeah, that's what I'm doing in my Dragon Ball shirt, or wearing my Capsule Corp and going in there and then having Trunks come in and me being like, I wore this for you, and no, you didn't. You're just a nerd. Yeah, I know. It's huge for me, and it blows me away that he's still in it. He's still involved. I've got probably another year worth of recording to get up to 131. I'm praying it comes back.
Sounds like it is.
I mean,
movie then another series, yeah. But
did they say another series?
Yeah, they said there's a movie that's a continuation, and there'll be another series afterwards. Sounded pretty solid too.
That's good. I don't know. I'm not going to know until I get a phone call that's like, hey, man, I can call you for some new Dragon Ball.
Hit the call.
Hit the call or whatever that is. And be like, oh, great, a new series. And that'll be fantastic. It's amazing. I get to train my heroes. And I'm losing it. And then when I actually get to fight them, like, when Whis fights Goku in the time chamber, it's the gravity chamber later on, I cannot wait to record that. I cannot wait for a battle with Goku that's just like all out. It's the dream.
Good luck to sleeping the night
before. Oh, man, I'm going to have like sleep time tea and like have to exercise or something the day before because I'm
work out the nerves.
yeah. But I go in there to have a monster energy and I just get real like, alright, this will be fun.
Yeah, well, certainly Dragon Ball and that whole universe, that was my introduction into the world of anime. What's been your favorite character in that entire universe? Vegeta. It doesn't have to be now. Oh, Vegeta. Vegeta. Okay.
It's Vegeta. No, Vegeta's anime is Dragon Ball's Wolverine. He, you know, gets all the badass lines, gets the never resurrect again, like, it's Vegeta. And I think Whis likes Vegeta more, too. I do, and I've noticed that in his lines, because Goku and Vegeta will be talking to him, and he'll be like, okay, Vegeta, you'll get this. There are 12 universes, and Vegeta's like, yeah, cool, all right, 12. And Goku's like, but what is that? And you just listen to the tone of voice he usually takes with him, and he's like, there are many bad bads, and now they boom boom. And okay. And I, because of that, because of watching Vegeta train in the new series and how he is as a student and everything, it just furthered my love for him. As a kid, it was always Future Trunks, because I think all of us like teenage boys at that time were like, I'm Future Trunks. Vegeta's my daddy.
Look at my sword.
Yeah. So I think I answered it. Maybe.
How do you, speaking of Dragon Ball Z, how do you bring more physicality to those more demanding roles?
He's great. I don't have to. I'm Whis. Everybody else has to scream and scream and scream. And they, like, blow out their voices every time they do a Dragon Ball session. The agents will not schedule you for the rest of the day if you are doing a Dragon Ball session. Except for me. Because the loudest I got was that. Doing that. Past that, like, I might squeal with joy for some food or whatever, but that doesn't hurt. Dragon Ball is not taxing whatsoever, and I love that. I'm one of two. Can you guess the other character in Dragon Ball that doesn't hurt themselves when they go in? There's only two of the fighters. Me and one other. MVP. I'll just say that. 17.
Really?
17 never raises his voice. Think about 17 yelling.
Is Chuck Huber still, or... He's still doing it?
I
know he was in Z. I didn't know if he was in Super.
He has not recorded any for Super at this point. I don't think he would have, because
he's not in the early arc.
He's not in the early arcs. Yeah. So I don't know if he's recorded Super or if they would be bringing him back. But as a fan... Okay, that is me being all corporate about it. As a fan, I mean, come on. You got to bring him back. Yeah, it's not. Who are you going to get another voice actor for that? Why would you do that? Why? And when a lot of people would be like, well, do you think that once they start the Dragon Ball Super series that they'll bring you guys back? And I'd be like, how would you feel if they replaced Goku and Vegeta? I'd lose it, personally, as a fan.
Enough continuations. Why would you mess with a formula?
Why? So, should be Chuck. And yeah, no, they used to call him Huber Sessions because he would just go in and do Dragon Ball very kind of like on the Android. And then go home and be fine. Well, it's like Chris Evans, like,
all right.
Yeah.
So, what has been your favorite experience working on Dragon Ball Super?
Fighting Goku and Vegeta at the same time. My background on Twitter is him blocking Goku and Vegeta with his pinky and his finger. It's the neatest thing. My favorite line in it was when he's training with him, and Goku says something like, oh, Vegeta, you've never trained with Whis? You've never actually fought him? Oh, I guess that means you're not strong enough. I'm like, well, Goku, to be fair, you're not either. And he goes, I'm not strong enough to fight you? And there's just this one moment where he goes, oh, no. But the two of you together might be interesting. You want to try? And just to get to say that to Goku.
Great.
It's just, feels good.
You were floating all day after
just
that.
All day. Still, this is like almost a year later, and I'm still talking about it like it's a steak I just ate. Just like, joy.
Yeah. So you said that you don't generally have to bring physicality to demanding roles. What about Rashid or Zavid?
They move around. All about keeping your head exact distance from Mike while still kind of like moving around, especially with like Rashid and stuff and fighting stuff. You can hear diaphragmatic compression and stuff when you move that wouldn't be there. If I just go, that's one thing, but if you hear, the mic will pick up that internal, and so it'll sound more realistic. So yeah, you gotta move. You gotta get up and around. And I've played plenty of parts that do that. In D. Gray Man, I took over Yukonda. That's very physical and very screamy, and how I handle that, don't have caffeine before, do a lot of prep, warm up your voice very calmly and easily. Warm tea with lemon. Don't drink cold water while you're doing it. That'll constrict the vocal cords.
So I gotta ask.
Yeah.
Have you played all the video games that you've worked on?
I mean,
my man.
Valentia is the one that I need to get into. I don't live in LA, so they didn't give me a copy. It's one of those, like, the way that most places work, like, you'll do the game, and then, like, the next time you work for them, they'll be like, oh, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Here's your game.
Yeah.
I didn't get one, and I waited too long, and then it's like,
that'd be weird.
But now there's Breath of the Wild, and I'm going back into that since I'm on the con circuit, and Fighters. It's been Fighters for the last month. Have you guys been playing Fighters?
No.
It's the best darn fighting game that has come out in years.
It is legit.
Except Street Fighter V is also extraordinarily legit. but yes, I do. I mean, because it's amazing, and I love my brother is a gamer as well. So it is pure joy getting to beat your little brother up. using your own voice in a video game? He hates it. Because
it's like double insult.
Oh, dude.
So you're
Rashid's
talking
about line,
while he is on the screen.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I have to get quiet because he'll get real mad. But, like, so Rashid at the end, he'll be like, oh, I did it! 50 points or whatever. And he'll just look at me and be like, this is a stupid line read. You did that stupid. You're a bad actor. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I hate you. Just shut up. We get real competitive.
The salt.
He gets salty, but hey, as an older brother, I have to show him what it is to play on a hard difficulty. I can't let my little brother just learn to be okay with spamming.
Yeah.
He has
no free rides here.
I do that, and now he actually legitimately is. He's a damn good gamer. I'm very proud of him. I love you, Graham. You're a good man.
What would you be doing if you weren't an actor?
Like, if I weren't an actor.
It doesn't have to be legal. It could be anything. I mean, like, you could be a jewelry.
Give us something spicy. Yeah.
Oh, no, jewelry.
But it doesn't have to be illegal. Like, it can be boring, too.
If I never was an actor?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's different than if I stopped now. If I was never an actor, I might have gotten into cooking. Yeah. If it's not any sort of acting or theater. Maybe that. Maybe barbecue. Maybe I'd do that.
Okay, what if you stop being an actor right now?
Oh, I'm going to open up a barbecue shack. Yeah. No, I'm going to find a state that doesn't have, like, man, it was broke my heart. I went to Pike's Place this morning, and I saw a really nice barbecue place, and I was like, I can't move here now. I want to find a city that has no barbecue and open a Texas barbecue place.
I actually did have some barbecue questions I wanted to ask you.
Hell yeah.
When you came in earlier, we were talking a little off mic about this. So I wanted to know, what is your favorite meat and what is your favorite sauce?
Okay. So I'm Texan, so I feel obligated to say beef. So right. I feel like I got to do brisket.
Very Texas answer.
Now, brisket. Brisket is a wonderful thing, and I like making brisket. But brisket's something that I got to do if I'm going to have a party or something like that. Brisket isn't like a personal... but it does allow you to do the burn-ins at the end. And when I do burn-ins, I put that thing back on until it's at about 215. So you bite into it and it goes... You know what
yeah,
I mean? It's
yeah.
basically crispy fat.
Mm-hmm.
but my standard go-to is just pork shoulder.
Yeah.
Just give me a butt. And my favorite sauce, it actually kind of goes with... I have this thing I do called whiskey pork. And I only do it I rarely do it because it's because you got to buy a giant bottle of whiskey that you're not going to end up drinking. So you buy a giant bottle of whiskey. And then you put that in a brine. Then you brine that pork butt. Then you take out your spices. And you mix it mostly whiskey, but then a little bit of your spices. And then you inject that all over the pork butt. And then after that, you rub it with you take some of your spices and some of the whiskey and make a paste, and then you rub that on the outside, and then you do it over whiskey barrel chunks.
Okay.
And then have an aluminum pan under there.
Oh my God, sounds delicious.
You walk out with your little whiskey on the rocks, you take a sip and you pour it into the aluminum pan. So all the drippings go into a whiskey water kind of sauce, and then you mix that, you know, however you want to do your sauce. You take those drippings and then you kind of infuse that into your final sauce, which is a whiskey sauce at that point. And that one, if you want to go Carolina with it, throw in your vinegar. If you want to go Kansas City. I just went to Kansas City and I found, like, the thing for me barbecue-wise, it's different places. I mean, as anybody could, like, their different specialties are great. So you say, well, is one place better than another? No. This place is better at, like, Kansas City's best sauce. Like, Kansas City sauce is amazing. Like, I really like Carolina sauce. And people take pride in Carolina sauce, but I feel like Kansas City people don't screw around about sauce. That's,
yeah.
like, their thing.
Right.
Whereas, like, if I'm going to go to Memphis, I'm going to give me some ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina, I want pulled pork covered in coleslaw and just this drippy sauce.
Do you have any beard pro tips?
I like you. You got a condition, bro. You got a condition.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's just kind of one of those, like, wash it and then, you know, you bring it down and you just kind of leave it in. And as you should with any good conditioner, you leave that in while you then you'll do
right,
all the rest
right.
of your washing and then that'll make it nice and soft. Beard combing. Eric Vale, like, really got hardcore into me about, like, bro. Beard comb. I was like, really? Yeah. It keeps it from getting the... It just becomes that nice,
that
like,
floof.
Smooth.
Yeah.
Beard comb. And then, you know, a nice oil is a nice way to smell nice and have that nice, shimmery, kind of beautiful beard. This this is just lazy. I, a week ago, I had it out to here, and that's when I was like, you know, ooh, here's my mustache, and here's my beard. This is just a three.
Yeah.
Going to a con, and I don't want to look like a homeless person.
All right. Well, that was a great interview, wasn't it?
What'd you guys think?
Yeah.
It's only a little taste. You know, we're just giving you a little taste. The other 70% or so is going to be in that URL course below.
As much as we talked about Marvel with Ian Sinclair, let's talk about some more Marvel, right?
Oh, definitely.
We got the Deadpool trailer came out. Well, not the Deadpool trailer. A Deadpool trailer, another new one, came out not too long ago. I think it was a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And you and I had been talking offline about it a little bit. So we decided to give it a rewatch right before we started recording tonight. And we just wanted to give some of our thoughts on it. I mean, first impression, I don't know about you, I'm just super excited to see Cable and the X-Force. Cable's history kind of speaks for itself. His parents are sort of a big deal. Maybe you've heard of him.
Cyclops and Jean Grey / Phoenix / Madeline Pryor. Yeah, you know, he comes from good mutant stock. I'll say that. And I think he might have been the key to beating Apocalypse in one of the three storylines over the last 40 years. I'm not 100% certain, because I have not polished up on my X-Men comics in a long time. I'm sorry.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I should be. That is pretty bad. I am excited.
I'm totally kidding with Tyler, by the way. He knows more about comics than probably like almost anyone I've ever met. So don't be so hard on yourself.
Well, at the same time, Johnny hasn't met many, because I'm pretty weak. I'm very weak.
Oh, okay.
Very,
all right.
Very limited. I just happen to know things that he doesn't.
At least you've got humility too.
Yeah, because if we meet another person like Ian Sinclair, you give this praise, I'm in trouble. He will.
That's a good point.
Smell it on me.
Yeah, we might have to try to get him on again just to talk more Marvel.
That's the plan right now.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, we talk, you know, Cable, X-Force, that's all great. I mean, other than that, it looks like the same good old Deadpool we came to know in the last movie. Like, I was trying to take notes on it, but I'm just sitting there watching the trailer, and all I can think is like,
what's really humor? I mean, that's the thing about humor, is especially since Deadpool is really irreverent towards its own source material, because that's just the nature of Deadpool. There isn't,
right? They're always, they even break the fourth wall in the trailer.
It isn't like Infinity War or Black Panther, or even, you know, going back to like Doctor Strange, where there's like all these cameos you gotta see. I mean, you know, you see some of the people are like, oh, well, I guess they're gonna bring in the X-Force. So then you like go through the list of who's known annual, or not annual, but perennial members of the X-Force. You're like, okay, so these people will probably be in there. And we know Cable will, and you're like, okay, well, that'll be in there. But since it's a comedy, I'm not as fixated on all these Easter eggs and things as much as just
what
kind of big punchlines and payoffs comedic-wise will be in there. Because I know that Deadpool's going to shoot people. He's going to behead some people. He's going to disembowel some people. He's going to say some funny lines, and, you know, he's going to stare at the screen and make fun of probably other things Ryan Reynolds has been in, other superhero movies Fox has made.
I really hope they make fun of that horrible, horrible Deadpool appearance in Wolverine Origins.
Again?
I think I just have a real hatred for the way that Deadpool was portrayed in that one.
Everyone was portrayed horribly in that movie.
It was just such a disaster.
No favors. At least Emma Frost had like a diamond exterior thing that she did, so that was correct. And Gambit technically did charge things, though. That was bad, too. The Blob. When the Blob got fat, he looked like the Blob. That was somewhat accurate.
You know what? Let's just move on. The more I think about that movie,
the worse it gets.
Yeah, I'm just, my skin starts to burn, my head starts to throb, and you know, we're trying to focus on the positive here, which is that this sequel looks pretty good. I mean, you know, it's a trailer, so kind of everything looks good in a trailer. But I'm excited.
It looks better than Venom. It looks great.
To be fair, Venom. These were my thoughts after watching the first Venom trailer, as I was just like, did anyone see Venom?
I saw this black pulsating vein on Tom Hardy's neck.
Yeah,
which I'm guessing
that's
is
as
the
much
Venom
as you
stuff.
Get.
That's a wrap. Like, I mean, that's them. I mean, I understand. Strategically, I understand one reason why you would do this.
They're trying to build anticipation.
They put this out during the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
which also had an Infinity War trailer and possibly a Deadpool trailer, and that was in early February, 2 months after the first Infinity War trailer dropped, right? So if you knew that there was going to be Black Panther, Infinity War, Deadpool, and probably the solo Star Wars movie coming out, wouldn't you want to hide a little bit of your stuff? Because if you put it out before Infinity War and Infinity War has better CG or better special effects, you're just putting your stuff in a bad place to be.
That's a very good and convincing point. It almost makes me forgive them for how crappy that trailer was. But it, unfortunately, it doesn't. I'm still going to hold them to it. But
that's fine.
I mean, you know, it's let's
pull it at strands here.
Yeah, right. It's like let's stop complaining for one moment because I realize how it sounds. I mean, the truth is, we live in a golden age of like these superhero movies that are being made now are just incredible. Like the production quality. The story, you know, even the ones that miss the mark on some things, whether it be script or casting or whatever, these movies are just at such a high level, and they're such a joy to watch. So, you know, as much as we nitpick,
most of them,
I'm a little more. I'm one of those guys that's able to suspend my disbelief enough, even when something is CGI kind of
rhinos?
Sucking.
CGI rhinos.
Okay, okay.
See, I basically just reminded Johnny there is no Santa Claus. Sorry, kids. No, you're right. I mean, I think it really depends. Like, since, again, this is one of those things. Deadpool is a comedy, so if there's terrible CG, just like in the Meet Cable trailer, you'd be like, oh my god, the arm isn't done. Like, there's some ways around it in comedy. Infinity War will be serious, so it'll be bad. You know, if there's bad CG, it won't matter. It'll be bad. Thor Ragnarok, when Odin dies, spoiler, Odin dies. There's a little bit.
Way to put really good placement on that spoiler alert there.
Yeah, well, you know, better late than never. I'd rather ask for apology than permission. The CG's really bad. When they're all staring over that cliff in Norway at the ocean and he's like fading away, the green screen is, I don't know if they were doing it as a joke because it was comedy, because, I mean, Taika Waititi loves to subvert expectations in dramatic moments by making them kind of funny. So there could have been something there, but that was really bad CG. Like, it was noticeable. There was a couple moments in Spider-Man. Not that bad. I'm going to leave Homecoming alone. Please don't get mad at me. We all love the web-slinger here. We all love Spidey. But there's some moments in pretty much every movie. If you go back to early Marvel movies, you'll notice it. I mean, even Iron Man. Rarely, but there are some. Even in Guardians of the Galaxy. So they're not all perfect. They make a point of getting the certain entrance scenes, and the one where you're swirling around the Avengers in the first 2012 movie, they got that right. They get the right moments right, but sometimes it peters. In comedies, you can screw around with that. So Thor, Guardians, and Deadpool, you got a little bit more range in there. I never thought I'd say that about Thor Ragnarok, you know, or Thor in general. Oh, now you got a little bit of, you know,
right.
Leeway. But with the dramatic ones, like I imagine Venom will be, we'll find out in a few months after Infinity War is cooled down and it's safer to put that out there. Yeah, there's going to be a lot less leeway than a comedy where there's other things. Like the Hulk was silly, and that was CG, and it could have been bad, but because they did so much with other aspects of his character development and made him funny, we weren't paying attention to every last nuance of his facial expression. So there's different ways it goes. By the way, before we forget, Johnny had a funny note on the sheet down here we have on his notes to do with Deadpool. Johnny, do you want to read it?
Hey, look, Fox is trying stuff.
And they are. I mean, they're about to have three rated R superhero movies that are all going to probably kill. Or at least two. They're bad. They're two out of three right now. Like, we haven't seen three because it isn't out yet. But Logan murdered.
I liked Logan. I thought it was cool to see them go with a little bit more, like, dark and gritty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you know, like we said, they're trying stuff. And that's all you can ask. Because you never know. With productions, it's like, you could have the cast, the script, the director, you could have everything down. You could just have a murderer's row of just the best people involved with the project and mm-hmm. still have it come up short. So all you can ask is that, you know, these companies are still taking risk when it makes sense and trying to, you know, do something new and make the ceiling higher, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I feel you can have it all killed, but you can have one thing that's off. And it'll still kill.
Like, right.
Guardians had Ronan, which was kind of a weak villain, but everything else was amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just got to be careful. You only get one. You only get one thing that sucks. You know, you only get one weak player on the court at a time, you know, to reference your much-loved basketball. You only get you go only Nuggets. Get, you only get one bench warmer on, you know, in the rotation at a time. The Nuggets.
Well, this has been another great episode. Thanks for talking with me, Tyler. We'll have another episode coming up in the near-ish future. God knows that we are not hurting for content. Check me out on social media, JohnnyC303 on all platforms, GrandLethal16 for Tyler on that all platforms.
Me. That is me.
And like we've said so many times, you know where to find the interview content, SoundCloud, YouTube, GrandLethal16. Thanks for listening. Have a terrific rest of whatever part of the day it is for you when you're listening. Goodbye.
Right. Take it easy.